Hey. Psst, hey. In case you guys forget, Black Lives Matter.
Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hey, everybody.
Do you really have to mouth my movements as they're in?
Dude, it's funny as hell because it keeps confusing you.
It's not that it confuses me. It's just like, God damn it, stop it.
Some people just like to see the world burn.
Yeah, Ron's one of them.
Hey, also I have with a whole us, thing of that, marshmallows.
That sultry, I love marshmallows.
More marshmallows.
That voice you just heard was Craigor from Wreck My Podcast.
Grape scotch.
That sounds
bad.
Disgusting, actually. Yeah. We're on the second issue of this Back to Future story arc. If you'd like to check out our coverage of the first issue, go back to our previous episode. And so
now go.
This first part of the second issue, like I said in the last episode, these are anthologies, and so we've got two. We're going to be covering two stories in this issue. This first one is The Doc Who Never Was. It was, like I said before, written by Bob Gale and John Barber. The art was done by Marcello Ferreira. Marcello Ferreria. Sure. And colors by Diego Rodriguez. And Marcello is the one, I like his art, but he's also the one who will be the artist from six on. So, yeah. But anyway, we're back in the Old West, and Doc is hiring people to build or lay track for him. That's why I said it that way. And then the boys run up, and apparently it reminds him of a story. So he tells the boys a story of how does he say it? The time he changed the future and then didn't remember it.
Correct.
And so it's the 1960s, 1962 to be exact. And Doc is
October 24th, 1962.
Well, thank you.
He's sitting there at 6:04 p.m.
We don't have to be that exact. Shut the fuck up. Doc is sitting there watching, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis play out on TV on all of
TVs.
The
TVs.
Yeah.
TVs.
Yeah, many TVs.
And as he is sitting there, we see the general, the same general that gave him the job for the Manhattan Project, just kind of waltz into his place because why the hell not? Because you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then along with a Colonel Lomax, and they are there to basically conscript Doc to build a time machine. And it, you know, this is something that he knows he's going to do in the future because Marty...
He's already talked to Marty and he's already sent him back to the future.
Exactly. So, like, he knows it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I know one thing Marty did not tell him is that it took him 30 years before he realized how to build a flux capacitor to work. But that was, I mean, obviously time, you know, progress, trial and error, it takes time. But he is in the first steps, and we see that with this thing he calls the temporal field capacitor. It's a time machine of sorts.
It's a bread box.
Bread box with a giant electrical
time machine attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does the test of the stopwatches with a quick burning candle where he's got his control outside and then he's got the the candle and the stopwatch inside the box. He messes with a couple buttons, makes things happen. The ones in the box disappear. The candle, the quick burn, the candle outside and the stopwatch are still going. After a minute, he opens the box back up. There's the quick burning candle that he put in a minute prior and still burning, still new. Stopwatch is a minute behind. Because, yeah, it's time travel. He literally just set the stuff in the future. Similar to what he did with Einstein in the movie. Obviously, the one colonel is not impressed. But the general's like, yeah, this is... Well, the retired general. He's retired now. He's like, yeah, you've... And all the money. Here's all the money. Make it happen.
Exactly.
Like, we want to stop the Cuban Missile Crisis from ever happening. Make this happen. 100%. And so he's like, okay, well, this is great. He goes to bed that night, and
Russian Marty shows up. Doc goes with him to see the future where it's this big like amalgamation of the past meets the future meets the past meets people throwing, you know, shit through time portals, and everything's horrible. Marty disappears because he never existed, because all of time is being fucked like by, you know, the Doc giving basically making it, you know, everybody gets time travel, and when everybody has time travel, you know, it fucks everything up.
Yeah. I will point out, as he's standing there watching those missiles fall down, we see the Twin Pines Mall
logo
change to actual Twin Pines.
Yeah.
Right beside him.
I was thinking the one above that, it shows in the window reflection there's UFOs that are dropping bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
like, we see a lot of not discrepancies, but time like changing as he's there. The one thing I need to put a gripe on, though, is when he goes over to see Marty and Marty's gone, he looks through the window and the window's down. Now, unless that part of the window got broken out, that part of the window does not come down. You know how I know this? My brother has
because a DeLorean. Because your brother had a DeLorean. I know. I've got a picture of me with it.
The little part is the only... He wouldn't let me drive it either, the bastard.
Let me wow, talk. That's not a great brother.
Right?
Well, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, he wasn't my brother, but still.
That's one thing that stuck out to me, because I know for a fact that that little part is the only part that actually opens up.
Hey, so, yeah, that was on your brother's DeLorean, not Doc's DeLorean, okay?
Hey, which that kind of window will be great for our current time of quarantine, you know? Like, they're very futuristic thinking.
Hey, until you try to fit your fast food through the window.
you take the bag out of the out of it, and it just crushes everything. Yeah, that sucks.
That's why you just get to go pizzas.
Ooh, yummy. Mm. But yeah, so as the bomb's falling, Doc wakes up. And so, like I said, I'm not sure if this was a dream or if he actually was there and it actually happened, but it gave him enough forethought to be like, well, I can't let this happen. Like, the government knows I can build time travel. They know time travel is possible, not to the extent they want just yet, but it's there. I need to change it somehow. So he sends a
letter back to himself.
Yeah. He did state earlier on that he can't go back farther than like a day or something.
Because the machine's been made. No, we can't. We can't go farther back than since he invented the machine.
That, but there was a heat problem, like it would overheat or something, which is why when he did send it back in time, his house caught on fire. So that's what caused the fire to burn down the house.
But he did it intentionally.
Yes.
Because he didn't want them to be able to take any of his discovery and use it.
Correct. And he knew that this was a moment in time where him and Einstein were in, or Copernicus, because his dog's named Copernicus in the 60s, was...
Well, it's not the same dog.
No, I know. But they were in his lab, which is, he says, is fireproof, and he'd be totally fine. So, yeah it by him doing this, it erased that timeline of him sending it back. So the general and the colonel never came, never offered him the job. And
but he sends back the note so his past self can read it and understand.
Yep. And know what's going on. So the general and the colonel show up, see the house has been burnt. They run into Goldie Wilson, who's running for mayor. He's like, yeah, everybody knows. Yeah, the house burned down months ago. Everybody knows that Doc did it for the insurance money. And yeah, that's just what it is. So the general and the colonel leave and they go find another potential person to basically make time travel. And we go back to Doc and the kids, and they're like, well, how do you remember it if it never happened? And Doc's like, well, I sent myself a note telling me of all that happened. So there we are. Yay.
Woohoo.
Woo! All right. On to the second story of this issue, called Science Project. Story was by Bob Gale, and Eric Burnham, and art was done by Chris Madden. And I'm assuming the letters and colors were done by him as well. Craigor, you want to start us out on this one?
Sure. All right. So this one is a science project. So it kind of starts out in September 1984, and they don't specify a time, certain anal people.
It's fine. We got the date. We got the year.
So it shows Marty rummaging through some of Doc's stuff in his shop. And he's looking for something for a science project because he, of course, is a procrastinator. Like, I felt that hard, you know.
And he's a teenager, like all of us were.
Yeah, exactly. And he has to, present something. So he's like, oh, I'm going to go to my friend Doc's and try and find something. So then Doc comes in, finds him scrummaging around through the stuff. And Marty's like, hey, Doc, you know, I just need something. You know, he's not lying or anything. He's just like, hey, here, try and find something for my project. Can you help me out? I was like, well, I believe you should do it for yourself, but you're more than willing to, like, look around and see if you find something that you want. You know, you can take it because most of that stuff's junk anyway. And so
one thing he does find, he sees Neptune holding the trident. That's actually the same Neptune that was at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. So, which was kind of funny.
That's right. When I saw that, I was like, I thought that might have been it. Don't mention him in the sea dance. That's funny.
I mean, it could be a totally separate statue, but I'm pretty sure it was the same one. Because why the hell not?
I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also wearing a necktie that is a necktie umbrella, you know, in case you need to be fancy, but also it's about the rain.
I mean, why not, right? It makes total sense. The while, as Marty is rummaging through all this stuff, Doc is just sitting there with this tube or this metal what are those things called?
Metal rod. Bar?
There we go. Rod.
Metal rod.
And wrapping like coil around it. And then he
wire coil
drops it on the battery. And guess what he makes? Anybody want to take guess what he makes?
A magnet.
But he didn't help Marty. No, he did not help Marty at all. He totally helped Marty.
Yes. No. But I also feel like you're totally glossing over the electric hoe. Like,
yeah, that thing made no sense.
It makes zero sense.
The alarm clock with the spikes on it made no sense.
That one makes makes perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
You only hit the snooze once and it'd really wake your ass up.
Yeah, but you hit the snooze and off. Oh. Yeah, you just fucking smash it.
But yeah, so he sends Marty off with the battery and the coil, the magnet or whatever. And then he gets a phone call about the DeLorean. Like there was an article in the paper that he was trying to find, or you needed a vehicle, and the DeLorean made the perfect vehicle. Also for
which
$5,000,
I will say, yeah, well, 4,800 to be exact. But I will say, oh, true. He probably could have gotten that for 45, 46. Dang. I will say this episode, this little segment, it's kind of unnecessary.
You're not wrong. It doesn't really do a whole lot for the story.
Maybe they just didn't want to do a one-pager about how he got the DeLorean.
I guess it's like it's just like, all right, let's explain how he chose DeLorean. Let's make this totally little random story that no one's gonna really care about. And like, oh, I saw this Craigslist ad and there's a DeLorean, it's a perfect vehicle, I'm gonna buy it. Like, yeah, a little unnecessary. Yes.
No, yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm staking my namesake, it's a Craigslist ad.
Fair enough.
Nah, that was in the Peddler's Post.
But yeah, so that's how we end the second issue there.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Craigor, please check out the Wreck My Podcast on all major podcasting apps. You can also find them on Twitter and Instagram at Wreck My Podcast. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Back to the Future story.